Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Hypno Fairy Godmother Show with Shirley Yance, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the Hypno Fairy Godmother Show. I'm Shirley, a clinical hypnotherapist and coach here in Southern California, and I have been a glittering rainbow girl going way back. My specialty is working with the LGBTQIA community, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So I've been thinking about, you know, how things are a little stressy outside. So I wanted to have people on my show this month that make me proud to be part of the community, that have some fun stories, some inspirational stuff, and might bring a little smile to your face and maybe a little giggle to your heart. So before we get going, we're going to start this show like we start every show. So if you're in a safe place only, I want you to take a deep breath. Hold it in. And exhale with a smile. And we are ready. So as many of you know, this is Pride season. I say season because sometimes it just keeps going and going. And so this month, you know, like I said, we're going to have people on the show that make me proud and excited. And that's the way it needs to be. And since you can never get enough, I'm telling you, you know, that you can never get enough of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, I decided to invite a couple more representatives this week. So here we go. Hello, sisters.
Hi. How are you doing?
How's everything going? And would you two like to introduce yourselves?
Hello, everyone. I am Sister Jenna Saqua with the Los Angeles Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Happy to be here.
I am Sister June Cleavage from the Los Angeles Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, and I am also thrilled to be here.
Well, I'm happy to have both of you here with me. Wish we were all together, but, you know, this works out very well. So for those that, for some reason, may not be aware of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, could you explain a little bit of maybe the history of the LA House as a whole? And, you know, since I know you don't actively recruit members, then, you know, tell me about, you know, are there any specific qualifications? Are there any, how hard is it to become a sister? Would anybody want to become a sister? What does that entail?
June, would you like to take the history of the LA House a little bit?
Oh, goodness. Put me on the spot. So the Los Angeles House was started in 1995. Let's do math. Yes. By Sisters Candy Side and Sister Unity, who are still part of our house, in addition to Reverend Mother and a few other sisters. Essentially, they saw what was happening up in San Francisco and said, hey, can we do that too? And they said, no. And our sister said, we're going to figure out how to do it anyway.
I like it.
A little bit of our sister spirit. We do like to rub against the grain and get people to learn to love us. But we've been here in Los Angeles ever since.
Right.
There's about 20 sisters right now within the house, ranging anywhere from aspirants all the way up to fully professed sisters. That's a lot of steps. Aspirants are people who are interested in participating with the sisters. It's a nice little time where we get to know you, you get to know us, and we kind of figure out if we're the same kind of crazy. Then you become a postulant. Postulants are learning the ropes. They are our like junior most members. However, they do participate in all of our events. We tag them along for any and everything, and they get to find out what being a sister truly means. From there, you become a novice sister. Our novice sisters are charged with producing their own events. The entire order, or our entire Los Angeles house, participates in that event. And we do everything we can to push that through, make it a success. And once that's been completed, we allow them to elevate to being a fully professed member. Both Jenna and I are fully professed members. And that process takes anywhere from about 1 to 2 years, depending on your timeline. It is quite a bit of commitment, but we like to say that becoming a fully professed member is just the start. We've had members that have been members for 20 plus years. I believe that our junior most fully professed member is still like 3 or 4 years in right now. So, I mean, it's definitely a journey.
I mean, you see the sisters out in the community. We do a lot of activism. We do public works. We try to reach out to different charities that need our help, whether it's dealing with like homeless LGBT youth, people in hospice care, remembering any event that's happened where, you know, we need to give kind of a moment to think about it. And during this time, you know, we expect for people to see us. And if they kind of want to do something, why not come and talk to us? That's how we actually do our engagement to make someone come into the organization, because we don't actively recruit, as you said. So whenever you see us in the community, say something, you know, because that's how we bring you into the fold. As Sister June was talking about, that's how you become an aspirant. We see you at our events. We see it happening. We'll start inviting you to our general membership meeting, and then we can keep on going. I assume that people not just in LA are going to hear this talk show. So there's a whole process. If you can find sisters in your area, do it. And if you don't see sisters in your area and you find people that want to make a house there, there's a whole system that we have in place, because the Sisters is a trademark brand. So, and not everyone can just, you know, pop up and put on the face and say, here, we are Sisters. You can go through a whole process to create a mission house, and you'll go through our UNPC council. So our council's redundant at that point. But anyways, there's a whole step into it. So don't feel, if you don't have sisters in your area, that, you know, it's not going to be able to happen. Make it happen.
About how many houses are there nationally and internationally?
Wow. I want to say that right now, active houses, I know that in North America that we just pushed above 50. And that doesn't include some of the ones in Canada. And we also have mission houses that are coming up too. I think there's probably about 6 or 7 mission houses going on. And then I think internationally, worldwide, I mean, we have houses in England, Berlin, Paris, two in Paris, Sydney. I want to say it's around like 90.
Wow. So the movement is still going strong, which is great. So let's say that you as a sister go to another town or another country even, and you find out that the sisters there are doing an event. Are you allowed to join or just sit back and watch what they do?
So what happens is that we're actually a very tight group. We have conversation, topics, threads all around the internet, from Facebook to email, listservs and stuff like that. So we stay pretty connected. Sisters everywhere usually want to, if we have a visiting sister, come join, manifest with us, be a part of what we're doing. It's never kind of an exclusionary thing. We don't want to go in there and be like, oh, let's do it, but we're going to step in, and it's a community thing. So our community is everywhere. So you join the house, you get to be a part of a larger order.
That's great. It's always nice to know that there are people with you and for you wherever you go. And in these crazy times right now, and everybody's in lockdown, how have, you know, events been going? How do you get out to your community to make sure that they're still know that you're being involved, Sister June?
So things like this, yes. You know, doing our online chats, doing online events. It's a great way to get our literal faces out there.
Yes.
A few things. We've done a game night, which was super fun the other day, and probably more to come. That seems like that was a blast. We've done a vigil for both people who have passed from COVID-19, as well as most recently a Black Lives Matter one, where we reach out and we connect to the community. But more and more, I think a lot of us are doing one-on-one ministry.
Okay.
Where we are just talking to the public. Most of us have some sort of either Instagram, Facebook page, something where we put our sisters out there 24/7. And in a time where people are feeling very isolated, it is nice that they have a place to at least virtually reach out and kind of connect to us that way, where we can do some good, like, deep work chatting with the public and giving them a safe space.
That's great, because people have been feeling alone a lot lately. The isolationism. I realize that in my field, you know, I've been getting a lot more calls about the stress and the anxiety, little claustrophobia from having, because now, especially here, and I've heard in other states, it's now mandatory to wear a mask. So you two are going to have to start bedazzling some masks, you know.
Oh, I'm already sure that.
Exactly. It's all about the bedazzling and the glitter. How have you two personally been doing with this isolation, or, you know, being a little more cautious about where you stand, what you do, where you go?
I will say that whenever it first began, I was in a very panicked mode. I took a very, I want to keep as most aseptic technique. You know, I'm wearing the mask, I'm wearing gloves, I'm cleaning everything. And as someone who usually presents very socially and I want to engage the community, it was kind of hard to have that culture shock of now being kind of confined into my space and then having to deal with fears. Luckily, as time has went on, you know, it's taught me a lot too, in terms of how I can process things and what am I looking for and engaging. I mean, I was going to say that, you know, the use of technology is wonderful now, because a lot of times when you are in a bar or something and you have people that are stuck on their phones, or, you know, that it's like, okay, I feel like you're being disconnected. Well, now that it's not as easy to go into the bars and stuff, we're actually finding that this is how we're connecting and staying together. And, you know, for the isolation issues and stuff, the good thing about the technology is that you can now use this as an avenue to connect with other people with Zoom or the meetups and stuff like that. You have to find your avenues now. Facebook events are everywhere. So if you're feeling alone, you know, look into those events and see if you can participate, you know, because it is easier now to have this dynamic where you can be in your comfort of your own home to yourself, and you can engage as much as you want or not as much as you want. And you can spread all these different gaps too, whether it be with ethnicity, age, or just anything else that usually kind of is messed with our community. So,
Sister June, how have you been handling things?
I'm a bit on the opposite end of the spectrum. I work online 100% of the time. So my general workflow is a very tight area. So being by myself is not too terribly much of a change for me.
Okay.
However, I have found that because I am not making a commute to my office, because I am not setting up nearly as much either face-to-face or virtual meetings for work because everyone is so distant, I do find that I have a lot more time to reach out to my own circle.
Oh.
I'm finding that I have more time because we're all home. We're not rushing to and from and trying to get to the grocery store and the gym, and where we can have standing dates where it's like on Thursdays, I have happy hour. On, you know, every other Saturday, I check in with my grandmother. Like, it's been a very nice way to reconnect with people that I have a tendency to find myself too busy to make time for.
Well, that's great. Yeah. The nice thing about this online stuff is that I feel that in some ways people have become more connected. I do a midweek mindfulness on Zoom, and it's I've had people tell me that it's a great way to just feel connected to other people, you know. So the fact that you're using it to get back connected, whether it's your friends, your grandma, you know, just people that you may not have had the opportunity, you know, and we all handle stress in different ways. Some people love the isolation. They would never leave their houses. Other people, like Sister Jenna, who is all out there, and when you're a person that's very outgoing, this can add more of a panic. So
also changed it into another factor that whenever going out was a fun thing to do, it also made it a distraction. You know, so if I am constantly wanting to go out and stuff, that kind of took away from other things in my life that maybe, you know, I should have been focused on. So now that I'm forced to be here, it actually gives me that time to really say, hey, how can I, you know what I mean? What can I do to be in a better situation too? So, you know, not just connecting, but maybe applying for different jobs or having a closer, you know, relationship with people that I need to. So, yeah.
That's great. With the online events that you've been having, has there been a great response, or are you just building up a different type of community, or about the same type of community?
Actually, there has been a pretty good response to it, and people are enjoying the content that we're getting through. It's either very personal and a deep meaning, or it can provide them with some levity in this time where a lot of things are stressing us out. Good thing about being online is that we can reach people around the world, you know? So with the game show night, for instance, we had people there from, I think, 6 cities. Three of them were sister houses, but I know that we brought in people from Miami, Florida, New Orleans, and what was the other one? I think Seattle. So it was nice, you know, there were people there that normally wouldn't be able to see us in our natural habitat.
And that's perfect, because, you know, when you're having those events, if you were, you know, just doing local events, they wouldn't be able to see you. So, Sister June, do you think that this is, even after maybe we come out of this more isolation, do you think that since we've become more of a internet society, that, you know, the sisterhood, especially in LA, will keep doing these online events?
I would absolutely love to. I find that this reaches a lot further than outside of our standard circles. We're interacting with people from all different parts of our city, but all different walks of our city. When we have events, it's not just the like LGBTQAI community. We've got straight people coming in. We've got people who are roommates of someone who knows who the sisters are. And they're like, come here, you have to see this. Like, and it's just, it's broadening our net. And it's creating different connections for other people within their own community as well.
Oh, that's perfect, because I was hoping that you would say that. Because although going out and meeting people one-on-one, you know, is a great way to either build, you know, your house or just to connect, but by having this internet, you know, by having that, it also makes it so, you know, you're reaching people from all over. One of the things with Pride this year is that most places are having virtual prides. And I've noticed that the crowds from the virtual prides are so diversified now. Have either of you noticed that?
I haven't personally been able, or I haven't been onto a virtual pride yet. So I have to defer. I know. We do a lot of planning and busy stuff, and sometimes we lose some of the other aspects.
That's okay.
Yes, I was fortunate enough to pop into the Arizona Pride. Mm-hmm. We made a little day date out of it with some friends. We just basically postponed our regular happy hour and said, you know what, if we're home and we're going to do this, let's hop on over and let's see what's going. And it was wonderful to see all of the different types of people and all of the different units of people, because again, it's virtual, so it's very easy to get your whole pod involved. Right. Anyone who lives with you can pop in for a few minutes, and it's not this big pressure of come to Pride, we'll find parking, I'll pay for a lift, and you know, it's
exactly,
you know, you can absolutely come by on your way to the kitchen to go grab another breakfast burrito and
and then, you know, come back and see who's on.
Exactly. So it's really opening up a lot of avenues.
That's great. Yeah, I know this weekend is actually World Pride. And I'm guessing that because this year it's virtual, you know, people will actually, I'll actually get to see, you know, something that I would probably never get to see.
Yeah. I remember at World Pride last year in New York City, and it was a very, it was a wonderful event. And you had people from around the world that came in there and culminated for their Pride, which was also a big monumental year. So
right.
Yeah, World Pride's amazing, and this is definitely a good opportunity to really kind of introduce everyone from all around this country, you know, into this dynamic. So
I know that this isn't, you know, nobody wanted this, you know, pandemic or whatever to happen, but in a weird way, it sort of connected our communities. Mm-hmm. And made them more, you know, open to seeing what other people are doing.
Well, something that I've noticed is that when it comes to the LGBT community and UA and stuff, we don't really have this kind of connectedness through the age gaps. We don't really have the mentorship kind of things that you'll see in other, like, different communities. And what I've noticed is that right now we're engaging just because we want to engage. You know what I mean? So people are connecting in, they're logging in, and it's this kind of friendlier dynamic whenever you consider what technology is, because you want people to keep on playing and engaging you and stuff. And now you're really getting to hear some stories and stuff that you might not would have done if you were hanging out in the bar. So, you know, it's like you can definitely blend up a lot more now.
And that's what this is all about. So I have to ask this question because I know somebody's going to ask me. I've noticed that you both have a different color hoobie on. As we learned last week from Sister Unity, the name the hoobie came from. But I've noticed that each of you have a different one. Does that signify anything or just personal choice?
So it is personal choice. Okay. Our house's color of choice is white. Those are our traditionals. I am a big old sloppy pig pen. And cannot manage to keep a white one white. So
okay.
I did have one of our lovely sisters make me a matching one that goes with everything and hides everything but the pet hair.
You know, that's the wonderful thing about black. You know, it doesn't matter what you spill on it, you still look fabulous.
It's high enough that it hides my powdered donut addiction. The white face takes care of the rest.
I love it. You know, there's a reason for everything. So does the house have anything coming up in the near future?
I know that Sister Unity and I are going to be working on a West Hollywood Square. So we just had our game show last Saturday, yes. Which was fun. And everyone has so far responded that they really enjoy doing it. So we're going to work on, like I said, West Hollywood Squares and push that one. I know that we also mentioned that we would be doing some kind of form of history of religion, which is like a play that we're going to be putting on. It might just be having a Christianity focus, or it might be a lot of different religions. So that's also to come. Make sure you look and follow the Los Angeles Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence on Facebook so you can stay up to date with us. You know everything else, June?
So that is everything that we have in the works currently. I know that there have been some talks about broadening some of the things that we do. I've been talking to a couple of sisters about doing like almost like a town hall where we can get the public to come in, ask us questions, chit chat with us, something that's, you know, a little more informal, just to kind of get a read on the community and see how everybody's feeling and what they need. And we will do what we usually do and fill that gap.
Right. You know, kind of the intersectional pride meetings, right?
Yes. So that's going to be part of the the town halls that we do, I would like to get in touch with some folks that we have worked with in the past from a few different walks of life, and kind of really talk about intersectionality within our community. There are a lot of different pockets, and sometimes it feels that we are all very far apart. And when we come together, a magic happens. So let's try to figure out how to get that to happen more often. You know, leave your little bubble, leave, you know, your, or bring your friend group, and let's intermingle and kind of come together where we meet.
That's such a great idea, because there are such varied sections of the community, you know, and for a long time, there was a little bit of hostility towards different sections. It's not like that as much anymore, which is wonderful, but the more you can connect, the better it actually is. Besides Facebook, are you listed, are your events listed anywhere else?
Facebook and Instagram. Instagram is at LA Drag Nuns.
Perfect.
Those are going to be the most up-to-date places.
Okay. And if you missed any of that, it'll also be on my show page, on my Hypno Fairy Godmother Facebook page, and on my website. Just throwing that in there. So since we have a little bit of time, this is like, this is my favorite question. So do you have any great pride stories? Any pride stories that fit into maybe the PG-13s? We all have the other, but
I mean, I could bring up about World Pride last year in New York City, which was an amazing experience. We had sisters that met up in there, and we did our kind of counter pride parade, which was through Christopher Street and East Village. But I also got to see Grace Jones in concert. So that was okay. Very, like, oh, goodness.
Now I'm jealous.
Yeah, I was jealous.
Yeah, now I'm jealous. So,
so that was really fun.
So, Sister June, do you look at Pride any differently now than you did before?
Yes. Let's just go ahead and put it out there. I am clearly a lady.
Yes.
She's a woman.
Assigned female at birth. Let's go.
I mean, okay, got it.
But I am also in a heterosexual relationship as well. So coming into the sisters and really becoming a part of this community as opposed to a patron of the community, everything is entirely different. I mean, I'll still go to Mickey's and throw down a couple of dollars with my secular self, but really being able to reach out and hear people's stories and hear what motivates them and hear what fears still need to be allayed and really become enmeshed in what it means to be a part of the community is what's really changed for me. I think that part of what called me to become a sister is that I know that it's not all pride parades and cocktails.
Right.
But being able to impact the community at a deeper level like that, that for a community that has given so much to me. I am an LA native. I grew up a stone's throw away from West Hollywood. By the time I was old enough to possibly convince someone that I could come in and drink, that has been my haven. It's always been a community that I've felt a connection with, and to be able to give back what I've taken is so gratifying to me.
So you would fall under super ally.
Someone recently said that allies are people who talk about it and don't do it, and accomplices are people who do it. So I like accomplice.
Yeah, you are definitely under accomplice then. Okay, yeah. Yes.
I will say Pride has changed for me as a sister, though, than beforehand, because before, when I was in my secular self, I was participating and doing the kind of dynamic where you run around, you see people, you're excited, you're like, oh, like, here we are. But being a sister, it's also nice because we tend to do bar ministry where we run across, you know, the adult crowd with the adult humor and those dynamics. But at Pride, you're able to engage, you know, the youth, the high schoolers, the college, you know, the people that it kind of brings even more message in. They can see that representation and be like, wow, this person is clearly like expressive. They sound like me. They're happy, you know, and they can come out here and like just bring that joy. You know, so it's kind of nice on that part too, to be able to resonate and actually give that kind of inspiration to the youth.
Well, I'm sure when you're, you know, dressed as you are, you know, that does get a little more attention. So you know, thousands of pictures.
You can't be dressed as a boy, though.
Yes. Thousands of pictures, lots of people around. Yeah. So people are, you know, let's see, how should I put this? So people are still engaging with the sisters even during this. And so is it still actually possible to maybe try and join a house while people are meeting more online? Or is that more of a once you get back into, you know, meeting up personally?
I think that all houses have different rules. In LA right now, right. I believe that we're looking and it's like, hey, we know that you're here and you're excited, but I think that we're not really, during the quarantine, it's a little hard for us to engage the community and actually see, you know, where exactly. They're at, what they can do and how they're going to incorporate themselves into us and stuff. So taking in new, it's a little bit off, but if you start expressing yourself, we can invite you to our events. The more we see you, the more that's going to be showing us that you want to do this, you know, so a little bit more difficult right now to bring people to the fold.
So June, you mentioned, Oral, that you are a cisgendered female and in. So obviously there is no specific qualification to be a sister. I mean, mm-hmm. As in, you know, we know that the sisters were basically started by a group of gay men. And that's the impression that a lot of people have. So
yes. The only specific qualifications that it requires to be a sister is open heart, good intentions, and tolerance to inhaling a lot of baby powder.
Yes.
Beyond that, no. Because if you look at the community at large, we feel every nook and cranny, every available gap. So why wouldn't the sisters be a reflection of that community?
And that's how, you know, you become more of a community. Mm-hmm. But I did know that for a while, people only associated the sisters with the gay male population. So, you know, it's nice to see the expansion. Yeah. And the recognition that, you know, as long as, you know, this means a lot to you, that you can join.
Yeah, I've met a lot of interesting dynamics in the sisterhood for who has joined. I know in Dallas, there is a married couple who there's, you know, of kind of more of the straight situation. It's a man and a woman, and they have a child. And she is also a fully professed sister now in the Dallas house. So it's like their whole family is doing it. And yes, we come from all religions, you know, any kind of variation that you'd want to be, come and try to join, you know?
You know, that's what it's about. I honestly think that's truly what it's about. So we know that we can find you on Facebook. We can find you on Instagram. And that's where you're posting all of the upcoming events, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And if anyone wants us to be a part of their event, you can also reach out to us on those different platforms and say, hey, we're doing this. You know, do you want to make an appearance or have some capacity? Because we're always looking to help our community however we can.
That's great. So you are willing to, you know, step into another part of the community for an event.
Oh, most certainly. We host our own events, but I'd say probably 50-50 are us coming and contributing to other, other portions of our community, whether it's coming in, doing blessings for them, coming in and just kind of being our wacky, zany, entertaining selves, to taking, you know, some larger, like, speechy roles, things like that. We're super, super happy to engage with the community in any way we can. Clearly, we're all at least a little extroverts by nature, or we wouldn't yes. be as extravagant. Definitely always open for new opportunities, new friends, new outreach.
And, you know, one thing that I think is important for people to also know is that one of the main things that you do is fundraising, as you are a 501(c). I think I did those letters right. And that, so how does that work with the events?
Well, I mean, in terms of fundraising, usually we'll have somebody, if either we'll identify a charity, maybe one that isn't as well-funded, and say, you know what, we like what you do. And we step in, we're like, hi, we want to do a fundraiser for you. You know, get their name out there and whatnot. The coronavirus is really kind of hindering a lot of people and their ability to raise money.
Yes, it is.
I know that we just worked with Life Group LA and Being Alive, and also did something with the Trans Latina Coalition. So it's like organizations that they have a good purpose, we'll put in there. But if you have an organization and you were like, hey, you know, we could really use some help, throw it our way, reach out to us, you know, and we will try to do something with you. You know, however we can, no cause too small, as long as it's aligned with our values, which we're pretty open-minded.
Anything you'd like to add, Sister June?
Call us, beep us if you want to reach us.
Hey, I like that. So, thank you very much for both of you joining me today on my show. It's been great getting to know the last couple weeks more about the sisters and how they, you know, how they run things and how to become a part. And so, like I said, all of this information will also be on my Facebook page and on the Hypno Fairy Godmother website. So I'd like to thank you both for joining me.
It was wonderful to be here. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Thank you. So, like I've been telling people, with this virtual prides everywhere, I tried to list them and could not keep up. This weekend is World Pride, so you might want to check that out just to see what it's like. To help the show, I also have a Patreon account, which has lots of fun swag, and I do shout outs. And wanted to once again thank the Bambit app, who have a great deal on there for brand new clients, because I am always open to see clients. Mostly now I do it online, which is safer for all of us and just as effective. So if you want to contact me for, you know, comments, you got an idea for a show, you know, let me know. I'm at hypnofairygodmother.com or hypnofairygodmother@yahoo.com, or you can find me pretty much everywhere. Just look for the Hypno Fairy Godmother and I am out there. So thanks for tuning in. Tell all your friends about the show. We're trying to build up and keep going. And remember, we're going to end this show the same way that we generally end every show. So, as long as you're in a safe place, remember, sit down, take that deep breath, hold it in, and breathe out that smile. I hope everybody has a wonderful, wonderful week.
You're listening to the Hypno Fairy Godmother Show with Shirley Yance, only on LA Talk Radio.